former Vice President Joe Biden picks up a key endorsement in South Carolina. But will his efforts to court centrist voters be enough to win the state?
Biden is really trying to use the state as a springboard for his campaign, a way to calm nervous Democrats out there who have long thought that he could be the best matchup against President Trump.
Plus, how the coronavirus outbreak could impact the Olympic Games in Japan. It's Wednesday, February 26th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. China is facing pressure to ease quarantine restrictions it put in place to help contain the spread of the coronavirus. Business executives and local leaders are concerned about the economic fallout and are urging authorities to reopen factories and keep supply chains moving. Others fear that moving too quickly could cause the outbreak to flare up again. The number of new cases has been falling in China, even as the virus spreads in other countries. Meanwhile, Nestle is one of the first major multinational companies to advise its staff to halt international travel and cut back on domestic trips. The company is asking employees to opt for phone calls or video chats when possible. Nestle, which is based in Switzerland, employs about 291,000 people worldwide. The company wants workers to suspend international travel until March 15th. Our middle seat columnist Scott McCartney has some tips for traveling during the coronavirus outbreak. He says if you want to change, delay, or cancel current plans, call your carrier and quick.
The reality is that each person with a reservation is going to need to call the airline in most cases and see what the airline will do. It's also changing day to day, but airlines have issued waivers for anybody traveling to China, more recently, anybody traveling to South Korea, and some waivers for Italy. But in some cases, those waivers only allow you to make changes so you can postpone the trip but not get a refund. If you're truly not going and you want a refund, you're going to have to see if the airline will do it for you because nobody's put through a blanket, hey, everybody gets a refund policy.
We have more travel tips from Scott McCartney in our Your Money Briefing podcast coming out on Thursday. And coming up, we'll talk more about how the virus could even upend the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. The fight over federal funding to sanctuary cities is one step closer to the U.S. Supreme Court. A federal appeals court in New York ruled in favor of the Trump administration, saying it can withhold funding from New York City and seven states, including New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Virginia, that have resisted federal efforts to enforce immigration laws. Local law enforcement officials have said cooperating with federal immigration agencies would discourage immigrants from reporting crimes and cooperating with investigations. New York City and the states have sued the administration, arguing that the funds are being withheld for political reasons. And in another court ruling, a federal appeals court in California has ruled that YouTube and other privately operated internet platforms are free to censor content they don't like. A conservative YouTuber had argued that YouTube violated his constitutional rights when it removed ads from his videos. The tech industry has argued that the private sector is not bound by the First Amendment. With rare exceptions, the First Amendment's speech protections put constraints on government, not the private sector. All eyes are on South Carolina ahead of next week's Democratic presidential primary there, the first in the South. Former Vice President Joe Biden picked up a big endorsement today from Representative James Clyburn, the top-ranking black lawmaker in Congress.
I know Joe. We know Joe. But most importantly, Joe knows us.
But Biden could be facing an uphill battle in the state as he tries to court moderate voters. Joining me now from the campaign trail in Georgetown, South Carolina, is Wall Street Journal reporter Ken Thomas. Ken, how significant is Representative James Clyburn's endorsement of Biden?
Clyburn is probably the most influential Democrat in South Carolina. He's been in Congress since the early 90s and is the highest ranking black lawmaker in Congress right now. And his words carry a lot of weight. We're only a few days before the South Carolina primary, and a little more than 50% of the electorate is black here in the state. So getting that support from Clyburn is a big coup for Biden. He's been trying to win here and set the tone for Super Tuesday states that are coming up.
And as we head into South Carolina's primary, how is Biden faring?
Well, polls show Biden ahead here in South Carolina, but it's a narrow lead. He's dominated the race throughout here in South Carolina, but as he has struggled in Iowa and New Hampshire, the polls have gotten much tighter against Bernie Sanders. He's also dealing with Tom Steyer, who has spent more than $20 million on advertising in South Carolina. So he could also be a factor. And so Biden is really trying to use the state as a springboard for his campaign, a way to calm nervous Democrats out there who have long thought that he could be the best matchup against President Trump.
Ken, you wrote about Biden's courting of centrist voters. What can you tell us about that as compared to his Democratic rivals? Who's presenting the biggest challenge for him there?
So Biden is trying to consolidate the more moderate vote in the Democratic primaries. He's trying to make the case that Bernie Sanders would be too outside the mainstream if he turned into the nominee, and that down ballot candidates running for office in the Senate and the House would struggle as a result if Bernie Sanders was at the top of the ticket. The trouble for Biden, though, is that it's a very crowded lane. You have Pete Buttigieg, who is has had success in Iowa and New Hampshire so far. You have Amy Klobuchar, who has run a pretty strong campaign. And other candidates as well are just trying to fill that lane right now. And so Biden is running the risk of having a splintered vote among moderates, and that would allow Sanders to pick up a lot of delegates by the basis of support from liberals.
Biden was asked during last night's debate if he would drop out of the race if he failed to win South Carolina, and his answer was that he will win South Carolina. Ken, what if he doesn't? How important is it for Biden to win the state if he wants to continue in this race?
His candidacy really does hinge on winning South Carolina. It probably is not a fatal blow for him if he were to come in second place, but this is all about momentum and the ability to keep improving as the calendar goes along. And the risk for Biden if he does not win in South Carolina is that he won't have much ability to win votes in these Super Tuesday contests that are coming up on March 3rd, just a few days after the South Carolina primary wraps up. He's hoping to use a win in South Carolina to connect with African Americans who make up a large portion of the electorate in a number of Super Tuesday states, including places like Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and in other states around the country.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Ken Thomas joining us from the campaign trail in Georgetown, South Carolina. Ken, thank you so much.
Good to be with you. Thanks.
And finally, the coronavirus epidemic has caused numerous public events worldwide to be canceled. It's still not clear how easily the disease can spread between people, so officials have been playing it safe. And word came this week that one of the biggest sporting events in the world could be affected as well, the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. A senior member of the International Olympic Committee raised the possibility that the Games could be canceled for the first time since World War II. Wall Street Journal Japan editor Alistair Gale says the uncertainty has a lot of people there on edge.
It's really the worst timing because, you know, a lot of preparation has gone into these Games. Everyone in Japan is, you know, making a big effort to make them successful. People are crossing their fingers, hoping against hope that this doesn't, really escalate and the Games can go ahead as planned. But, you know, there's so much that we don't know about this virus right now.
The concern is that a large public gathering like the Olympics could be the perfect breeding ground for the virus to spread.
I think it's about 10,000 or more athletes that are expected to come for the Games. You've got hundreds of thousands of people who would be expected to come and watch the Games. So you are talking about a very large group of people who would be traveling here to Japan, either to take part or to watch the Olympics. Obviously, you would have a significant risk of the virus spreading with that concentration of people in one place, you know, for the 2-week period or so that the games take place. And then when all those people go back to their home countries, of course, there's a risk of the virus spreading, going back with them and then spreading it back in their home countries.
And there's a lot at stake in the decision to move ahead or cancel the event. NBC has a multi-billion-dollar agreement to broadcast the games, and a range of businesses would be hurt if they don't happen.
The industries that would be most affected are obviously the, you know, the TV broadcasters. They're the ones that have made a huge investment for the rights to show the games. You know, the travel companies that would be, you know, the ones that are bringing people here to Japan. You know, here in Japan, you know, there's all kinds of industries that would be affected. There's a lot of, you know, obviously hotel industry, the restaurant businesses, transportation companies here in Japan, buses, trains, planes, that kind of thing. You know, a vast amount of industries that would experience disruption, many of which have been planning for a long time for these games to happen. And now for the prospect of them not going ahead as planned would be a major blow.
That was Wall Street Journal Japan editor Alastair Gale. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.